From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth message in a series of studies in the book of Joshua, bringing part two of Successful Christian Living. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's meditation comes from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 19, Fellow Citizens with the Saints. What is meant by our being citizens in heaven? It means that we are under heaven's government. Christ, the King of heaven, reigns in our hearts. Our daily prayer is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The proclamations issued from the throne of glory are freely received by us. The decrees of the great King we cheerfully obey. Then, as citizens of the New Jerusalem, we share heaven's honors. The glory which belongs to beatified saints belongs to us, for we are already sons of God, already princes of the blood imperial. Already we wear the spotless robe of Jesus' righteousness. Already we have angels for our servitors, saints for our companions, Christ for our brother, God for our father, and a crown of immortality for our reward. We share the honors of citizenship, for we have come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. As citizens, we have common rights to all the property of heaven. Ours are its gates of pearl and walls of chrysolite. Ours the azure light of the city that needs no candle nor light of the sun. Ours the river of the water of life, and the 12 manner of fruits which grow on the trees planted on the banks thereof. There is naught in heaven that belongeth not to us, things present or things to come. All are ours. Also, as citizens of heaven, we enjoy its delights. Do they there rejoice over sinners that repent, prodigals that have returned? So do we. Do they chant the glories of triumphant grace? We do the same. Do they cast their crowns at Jesus' feet? Such honors as we have, we cast there too. Are they charmed with His smile? It is no less sweet to us who dwell below. Do they look forward, waiting for His second advent? We also look and long for His appearing. If, then, we are thus citizens of heaven, let our walk and actions be consistent with our high dignity.
Oh,
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Thank you.
As God prepared Joshua for entrance into the Promised Land, he emphasized many things that provide spiritual lessons for Christians in every age, such as the promise of inevitable victory through his power, the prospect of imminent blessing, and stipulations for claiming the land step by step. In verse 8 of chapter 1, God said to his servant, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." In these words we find God's definition of success, a definition which is quite different from the world's view. Knowing God is real success and prosperity. Now to continue this message, Successful Christian Living, here is Dr. Cairns.
Here is real success, to receive instruction from the Lord and to live accordingly. That is successful living, in a nutshell. To receive instruction from the Lord and to live accordingly. You'll see immediately we must not determine success according to the terms of the world. We must not determine success or define it because of something that produces a set of preconceived results. We are so result-oriented, especially in this day and age, that unless we have certain preconceived results, we do not have success. I once heard a minister in this area on radio, and he was speaking to all the new people who were coming into Greenville. And the first thing he wanted to say to them was to find a church, to find a good church. And that meant you had to find a church of a certain size. Because if it wasn't that big, then obviously God was not blessing it. By that man's standard, Noah was a failure. By that man's standard, the Lord Jesus Christ was a failure. Because he certainly never did, in his lifetime, build the kind of solid core that the disciples went on to build after Pentecost. We have this preconceived notion of this, and this must be the result, and if we have those results, we have success. We must start off where the scriptures start off and see that successful Christian living is scriptural living. It's scriptural living. That is the ultimate success. I say ultimate because if you look at Proverbs 15 verse 24, you'll find the way of life, mark you, is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The way of life is above to the wise. The wise is again the very same word as we have in our text. This is the successful man. Ultimate success is getting to heaven. Ultimate success is departing from hell. The man who lives his life for gain, for business, for pleasure, for earthly relationships, for earthly power, pomp, and position, and ends up in hell, that man is a failure. The man who departs from hell beneath and lays hold of life and goes to heaven, that man is wise, and God says that man is successful. That is the ultimate success. That's why Moses prayed, "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they understood this." That again is the verb we're dealing with. "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they had such understanding that they would lay hold of what real success is and consider their latter end." All the people who are laying hold of the here and now, Oh, the people who are laying out everything to get a grip of the world's wealth and the world's pleasure and the world's power. Oh, that they were truly successful. Oh, that they were truly wise. That they would consider their latter end. This is real success. Jeremiah put it this way in the words of the Lord Himself. In chapter 9:24, let him that glorieth glory in this. If you're going to boast. Now, there's something in us all. We all love to boast. The most humble ultimately has something about which he likes to boast. Some boast in their own success. Some boast in the success of their children. We always used to laugh at my father. He loved to dream up things that were about 10 million miles from the truth. As he got old and got senile, he, of course, it was laughable, but I don't think he was really responsible for it. But as he got very senile, he used to tell people who came to visit him about these sons of his that he had in America. One was a millionaire. Of course, my brother hadn't heard about that. He was a millionaire. He owned half the electric companies in the United States. I think somewhere along the line he had heard that he had bought a few shares. And somehow or other it got into his head that he owned all these utilities. He was one of the big cheeses. The other one, he was one of the great barons of business. Frank was just a wee fellow at the time, and he looked at him and he didn't expect that a minister would be a millionaire. So he really got me in the soup. He said, no, my dad's not a millionaire. And he's not half of that. But I think he's about half of that. My father thought he had been in the wrong job all those years. But there he was, boasting. There's an excuse for an old man who's gone senile. But a lot of people do that. They boast in themselves. They boast in their accomplishments. They boast in their education. Stupidly, they boast in their brains. If there's one thing in this world you oughtn't to boast about, it's how clever you are, how brainy you are. For you had absolutely nothing to do with that. They boast, they boast, they boast. Now Jeremiah quotes the Lord. If you're going to boast, here's the thing to boast in. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth. It's the word with which we're dealing. That he understandeth. If he wants to boast of success, let him boast of this real success. That he understandeth, and he knoweth me. He knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Do you notice how the first part and the last part of the verse coincide? If you want to glory in something, glory in what I delight in. If you want to boast about something, boast that you know God. For man, if you don't know the Lord, doesn't matter who else you know. Doesn't matter who else you know. If you don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter what else you gain. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This is real success. The scriptures call this prosperity. When Solomon was coming to the throne, David, his father, spoke to him. And in 1 Kings 2, verse 3, he told him, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. To walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments and testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. The very same word, that thou mayest prosper. This is the good success that the Lord promised Joshua. And this is still the very essence of successful Christian living. So God's fundamental definition of success is found in the word that is here used. But let's go a little further. And you'll find that God's fuller description of this success is set before us. Because what he promised to give Joshua is what he promises us in a spiritual way. This gives us, in other words, a detailed description of success. A detailed description of successful Christian living. If you look at Joshua, you'll find what success really is. Now, this is not only a second point of a sermon. This is not only a sermon in itself, but it would be a series of sermons if you wanted to consider it fully. So I'm really just going to suggest certain things to you. What is success for Joshua here? What is success, therefore, for you and me? Let's look at it more fully. Look at Joshua. Number one, taking our place in the center of God's will. The Lord came to Joshua. He said, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Lead this people. Do this and this. This is your place. Taking our place in the center of God's will. That is success. In Acts 13:36, we read of David that he served his own generation by the will of God. I can't think of a greater accolade that could be placed over any man, or a greater epitaph to have on your gravestone, that you served your own generation by the will of God. In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul, you could choose many texts that the Apostle Paul used in this subject, but this one, I think, will sum up a lot of them. The Apostle Paul gives us his attitude to the will of God. He has gone to great lengths in other epistles to say, I am an apostle by the will of God. Now he's writing to the church in Rome, and he says, I make request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul is saying, I'm willing to go to Rome if God wills. Now when he went to Rome, he went as a prisoner. When he went to Rome, he went as a candidate for martyrdom. But he was willing even for that, if that were the will of God. Just to know God's will. It was said of Epaphras in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What was he praying for? Epaphras was a minister of the church in Colossae. What was he praying for? That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Knowing our place in the will of God and taking that place and doing God's will, that is successful living. And that's why the apostle pleaded in Romans 12 that he said, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Isn't that always the bugbear of Christians? Isn't that what trips them up? Isn't that the thing that keeps them from doing the will of God? Conformity to the world, the fear of man, feeling that they have to go along. Be not conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One lady writer said, it is surprising to observe how much more anybody may become by simply being always in His place. How much more anybody may become by simply always being in His place. That's success. Taking our place in the center of God's will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.